بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد, my brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded us and he said, يا أيها الذين آمنوا واعتصموا بحبل الله جميعا ولا تفرقوا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hold fast and together to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not divide among yourselves. Now Allah did not say, la takhtalifu. He did not say, do not have a difference of opinion. He said, la tafarraqu. He said, don't form divisions. Now obviously, the reason for this is clear. I don't think I have to elaborate the reason. Because the first thing that happens when you get divided, whether it's as Muslims, whether it's in a family, whether it's in an organization or wherever, when you get divided, then you lose strength, right? There are so many stories of teaching stories in different cultures, and the usual story, one of the most common ones is that this father is dying and he has several sons and daughters. So he tells them, each one bring one arrow. So each one brings one arrow. So the father then gives one arrow to the person and says, break it. You break it, breaks. Then he takes all the arrows, puts them together, ties them, and then he says, now break it. You can't break it. So he says, this is like you. If you stay together, then nobody can break you. But if you are by yourself, if you are divided, then you will be broken. Now, question is, today if we see, it's very, very peculiar, paradoxical thing. Today if you ask any Muslim, what is the single biggest need of the Ummah, they will tell you unity. Right? No matter what, anyone, anywhere, this is the answer you will get. What does this Ummah need the most? Unity. But at the same time, we have disunity and we have reasons to differ and reasons to divide. And every day there is a new reason. Right? It has to do with maybe with culture, maybe with aqidah, or maybe with, you know, this practice, that practice. Something or the other. Reason to divide. Now, how do you change that? How do you change that? What do you do? The opposite of that is people say, well, you know, if that is the case, should we say that everything is okay? So, somebody is committing shirk, that is also okay. Somebody is going and worshipping on a grave, that's also okay. Somebody is making tawaf of the grave, that's also. Somebody is asking the person in the grave, yeah, Fulan bin Fulan, give me this, give me that, is okay. How can it be okay? It's not okay. None of that is okay. All of this is open shirk. If somebody is doing that with belief, they have exited Islam. So there's no question of okay. Yet, we have to live together with others. And the thing I always remind myself is, if you look at places of conflict in the world where Muslims are being persecuted, where Muslims are being killed, the person who is coming to kill you is not first asking you, are you Hanafi or Shafi? Are you Shia or Sunni? Right? Are you Salafi or Sufi? He's not asking. He doesn't care. You are a Muslim. You look like a Muslim. Chop your neck. But with us ourselves. No, hold on a second. I do Rafai then. I raise my hand. Do you raise your hands? If you didn't, I said, I'm sorry. I can't be offended. Go away. Yeah? That's why he's saying, I do. So this is close to me. So what is the solution to this thing? In my view, the solution to this is very simple, which is practice what you believe to be right based on your evidence, on your dalail. Don't change that. But if somebody else is doing something differently from you, leave him alone. Because he has his own dalil. Maybe his dalil, according to me, is wrong. Doesn't matter. Do it alone. What you look for is, what are the common areas that we have that we still need to work together on? For example, issue of drugs. Does it matter whether you are Shafi or Hanafi or Sambali or Maliki or this one or that one? If your kid is into drugs, he's into drugs. We have to sit and say, how can we get this drug business out? Yes? It doesn't matter. You pray this way, that way, you pray with your hands in your pockets, I don't care. As far as I'm concerned, we both have children. There is a drug problem. We have to sit together and think together to get the children out of this drug problem, irrespective of how you worship and whether you cover your head or not, doesn't matter. So look for commonalities where we have common interests and common needs. Work with those. Where we do not have common interests or where we do not have agreement or something, leave it alone. No need to fight about that. Second very important thing is the willingness to forgive. Willingness to forgive each other. I'll give you two instances from the seerah of Rasulullah. Take the instance of the man who was a relative of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and who was also poor. So Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu used to support him financially. So here is a man who is, one thing, he is a relative. Secondly, he is receiving money from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So normally what would you expect? That the person will be very grateful to him and very loyal to him, yes? But you know, I have seen, this is an amazing thing in life. One of my very, very dear mentors, he told me, I think maybe 50 years ago, I was a little kid. He said to me, if you want to make an enemy of somebody, help them when they need. So I thought this is a crazy thing. I mean, you know, so you're telling me don't. No, he said, no, you help, but don't expect that the person will become your friend. He will not. He will probably be the first one to criticize you or the first one to go against you. So I thought this is rubbish. He's saying something anyway. He was much older than me, was a mentor, so I never said anything. I didn't sort of disagree with him. I listened to that. But in my life, I have seen this to be true multiple times. The people who stab you in the back are the people who you helped, right? And that is exactly what happened in this particular case. This man who was related to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu and was receiving funds from him, he was one of those who slandered our mother, Sayyida Aisha Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Right, last person in the world. You would expect this man to stand up against the others. Instead of that, this man is one who... Now, his guilt is proven. Punishment is awarded. 80 lashes. He is, all this happens. So there is no doubt about the fact that he is guilty. So, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, quite rightly and justifiably, he says, this fellow, now I get out. I will not help him anymore. He is a traitor. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what does Allah do? In Surah An-Nur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals ayah. Now this is among the fadail of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that an ayah came for him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals the ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, don't you want Allah to forgive you? Forgive them. Don't you want Allah to forgive? Now here is a man, because many times people say, no, Shaykh, but you know, he did it. That is why we have to forgive him. If he never did anything, what are you forgiving? So here is a case where the person did this, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah is saying, you forgive him. Allah says, I have given you more, I have blessed you more, forgive him. Second big, and this is a combination of many, so I will mention that as collectively as one, which is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's treatment of those who harmed him, himself. Right? And collectively, what happened in Fatah Makkah, but even before that. People like take Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, who was a bigger enemy of Rasulullah than Abu Sufyan. Right? Right to the time of Fatah, even in Fatah Makkah, he comes, he says, La ilaha illallah, I have no problem on Muhammad Rasulullah, I still have an issue with that. So Al-Abbas radiallahu anhu, who brought him there, Al-Abbas says, I take away my protection from you, you are on your own. Get killed. I don't care. I mean, I'm sick of you. I'm tired of you. I don't know what's the issue with you. Yet, Rasulullah is the first one to forgive Abu Sufyan. And there are a series of them. Hind, his wife, who mutilated Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's uncle. Al-Wahshi bin Harb, radiallahu anhu, who killed Hamza bin Abdul Muttalib, radiallahu anhu. And so on and so on. Multiple people. Now think about this. So Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam goes and forgives all these people. And he is forgiving them when it was in his power and he would have been legally justified to execute them or to punish them. He does not do that. He forgives them. Free. He does not even seek compensation from them. He does not say, for example, to Vashi, you killed my uncle, I am his relative, now pay me blood money. No. Nothing. Now, what was the benefit of that? Why is that so important? If you think about that, the biggest benefit of this was that at one stroke, it killed all future vendettas, all future revenges and everything else. One stroke, it's gone. So after this, after Fatah Makkah, when Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said to the people, go, you are free. Idhabu fa'antumu tulaqa. He said, go away, you are free. After that, even if somebody wanted to create some conspiracy or create some ill feeling against Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he would not get any traction because people would say, look, what kind of a man? I mean, he just forgave you and you are now trying to, backstab him. Get out of here. At one stroke, he completely removed all opposition, future opposition to Islam and to his mission by forgiving people. Now, was it easy for him to forgive? Just think about it. You must put yourself in that position. Was it easy for him to forgive? No, of course it was not easy. It was very difficult. But he did it because by that one stroke, all future opposition is gone. And he is now free to do his work without anybody interfering. And, he doesn't have to play politics. He doesn't have to watch his back. He doesn't have to, nothing. Alhamdulillah, he's free. So I remind myself and you that this is a very, very, very important thing to do. It's not easy. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, hold together firmly to the rope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not easy, but it is essential and it is the most powerful thing that we have to build community. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to build community and to make this a source of khair and barakah for us and others. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika arhamar rahimin.